Senate will come to order. Reading clerk will call a roll, or the chief clerk will call a roll.
Roll call for Thursday, February 24th. Barnard?
Here.
Bebout?
Here.
Burns? Case? Christensen?
Here.
Coe?
Here.
Cooper?
Here.
Dockstader?
Here.
Driscoll?
Here.
Emmerich?
Here.
Esquivel? Geis?
Here.
Hastert?
Here.
Hicks?
Here.
Hines? Jennings?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Landon?
Here.
Martin?
Here.
Meyer? Nicholas?
Here.
Nutting?
Here.
Perkins?
Here.
Peterson?
Here.
Ross? Rothbus?
Here.
Schiffer?
Here.
Scott?
Here.
Von Platern?
Here.
President Anderson?
Here.
Case,
present. Burns?
Excused.
Meyer?
Excused.
Ross?
Excused.
27 present, 3 excused.
Prayer by Reverend Robinson.
Good morning once again. Let us pray. O holy God, our day has already begun. We are planning and strategizing, contemplating, writing, calling, working already. Help us to stop just long enough to breathe, to notice, to remember, to be still and know that you are God and you have given us a beautiful day. Help us see your presence in it and help us have awe appropriate enough for this day. Still, we are easily distracted with things undone, with worries unaddressed, with hopes still brewing, with the things of our lives that we push aside in order to work. But help us stop and breathe anywhere. Help us remember and help us know that you are here. And in our knowing, let us give you the things that we cannot manage alone, the things that our wisdom alone cannot understand, the things that our power alone cannot fix. So that when we get back to our distractions, we will find peace that will overtake the worries and hope that will fuel a new day. And when we return to the work already begun, may we plan with your wisdom, think with your thoughts, and work to your ends. All the while, help us appreciate this day and your presence in it. You are the Holy One, and so we stop and breathe deep your presence, your peace, your will. Amen.
Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the reading clerk please read the general committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports, the Journal of February the 23rd, 2011, has been read and recommends that it be approved.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. Our doctor for the day is Dr. Jerry Gardner, and Dr. Gardner is from Cheyenne. Also, our nurse for the day is Angela Haar. Angela comes from the Crook County Medical Services in Sundance. On this day in Wyoming history in 1916, the Cheyenne Men's Club discussed whether or not prohibition really does or does not prohibit. And I think that's a question that we still ponder yet today, whether or not what we do does in fact prohibit anything. On this day in U.S. history in 1938, the first nylon bristle toothbrush was made in Arlington, New Jersey. It was the first time the nylon yarn had been used commercially. Do you have a concurrence, I believe? Senator Bebout, are you ready in regard to message number 382?
Yes, I am, Mr. President.
Would the reading clerk read that message in at this time, please?
Message
February 23rd, 2011, from the House of Representatives, message number 382, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 9, Economic Analysis. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 47, noes 9, excused 4. House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Go ahead, Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move concurrence for message number 382 to Senate File 9, Economic Analysis, and I ask the body to vote no. Mr. President, what the House did in their amendments, they went in and essentially left the budget the way it left here, but added another at-will position. And from the get-go on this particular bill, there was only one person, whether it be at-will or one person that would be full-time state employee, would be needed for this particular function to be provided to the state. And so I think we need to go back and visit with the House and see what they're up to. I think we only need one position, so I would ask you not to concur.
Okay, the motion is that Senate do concur on Senate File 9, and you've been asked to vote no. And the Chief Clerk would please call the roll.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich?
No.
Esquibel? Geis?
No.
Castert?
No.
Hicks?
No.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
No.
Martin?
No.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Nutting?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Anderson?
No.
Closing vote? Closing, vote closed, 30 noes.
By your vote, you have failed to concur on Senate File 9, and I have appointed Bebout, Geis, and Rothfuss to that comp committee. Reports from standing committees.
February the 23rd, 2011, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highway, Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 194, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Cooper, Johnson, Landon, Nutting, and Schiffer, Senator Schiffer, Chairman.
Bill's on second reading. House Bill 29, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 29, DUI Elimination of Right to Refuse Test, sponsored by Representative Ginger.
There are no amendments. House Bill 29 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 87, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 87, Obsolete Laws, General Revision, sponsored by the Management Council.
No amendments? Any discussion? House Bill 87, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 100, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 100, Game and Fish Land Acquisition, sponsored by Representative Shepperson.
I believe there is an amendment, and I'd ask that the reading clerk read that amendment in at this time.
House Bill 100, second reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 3.
Senator Nicholas, are you ready to respond to this First Amendment?
I am, Mr. President, and I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 100. Folks, this goes to the issue with respect to when and under what circumstances the Game and Fish Commission has the power to assert rights through property through adverse possession or prescriptive easements. What we're doing is we're taking that language, and instead of addressing it in Part A of the powers division, we go to the second part of the statute, which provides that notwithstanding the powers that we've granted to the commission does not have the following powers. And then we insert this new language in lieu of what we had before, and it provides that the commission shall not have the power to assert adverse possession or prescriptive easement as to acquire an interest in property. However, they could assert those claims to construe, correct, interpret, or perfect a written grant of an easement. So if they've paid consideration for an easement, and the issue is what's the scope of the easement, what's the construction, or if there may have been a defect in the conveyance, we can correct that through these adverse possession to make sure that we get value out of those instruments that we've paid for. This would also apply to easements. In the original language, would have only applied to acquisition of lands and waters in the state, and it would not require applied to easements because that's in a separate paragraph. By removing it and taking it down to this language, it applies to all instruments of conveyances throughout the statute. I'd urge your support.
Discussion? Questions? Seeing none, question before us is in regard to second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 100. All those in favor and of this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
That amendment has passed. We're now back on the bill. Any further discussion on House Bill 100? Seeing none, House Bill 100, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 107, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 107, Municipal Court Jury Trial, sponsored by Representative Botten.
There are no amendments. Is there any discussion in regard to House Bill 107? Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. This House bill is eliminating the right by trial by jury, and I would ask you to look in Article 1, Section 9 of the Wyoming State Constitution. It says trial by jury inviolate. The right of trial by jury shall remain inviolate in criminal cases. A jury in civil cases and criminal cases where the charge is a misdemeanor may consist of less than 12 persons but not less than 6 as may be prescribed by law. Mr. President, I think that we're kind of violating that section of the Constitution.
Is there any further discussion in regard to House Bill 107? I would call on Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I think this is an important issue. You know, almost nobody is going to want to have a jury trial and a municipal court case where there's going to be a fine. But the trial by jury is one of our fundamental rights. It's in our state constitution, and it is a restraint on abuses of governmental power, and that's one of the themes in American history going back clear to the days before the revolution. And I think to just abolish it, even though it may be infrequently used, its mere presence operates some restraint. And I think this bill, Mr. President, is both on its face unconstitutional and is a mistake because it's assaulting one of our fundamental rights. And to borrow a phrase from a former senator from Sheridan County, when you see a snake, kill it right away.
Is there any further discussion in regard to this bill? And I would call on the majority floor leader, Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. Not trying to assault the jury trial. As you know, I am a fundamental believer in the civil justice system. But I think if you take a look at the language of the bill, you'll see that they're striking out language that already is in the statute that says shall be tried in cases in municipal court for violations of city ordinances shall be tried and determined by the court without intervention of a jury. So what this spells out is actually which cases you get the jury trial on.
Is there any other discussion in regard to the Senate File 107? Go ahead, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I guess upon third reading, because this is second, if we wanted to come in and state what's in the Constitution and make it clear, that would be an option.
Other discussion, House Bill 107? House Bill 107, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection. Yes.
I object. Without further objection, ask for the yeas and nays.
Objection being registered, I would ask the Chief Clerk to call the roll in regard to second reading, House Bill 107.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebelt?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
No.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
No.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
No.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Martin?
Meyer, aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
no.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
nope.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
nope.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Bonflatern,
aye.
President Anderson,
no.
Cooper, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 17 ayes, 13 noes.
By your vote, House Bill 107 has passed second reading, and it will be read a third time. House Bill 138, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 138, Public Funds, Time Deposit, Open Accounts, Interest Rates, sponsored by Representative Madden.
House Bill 138, is there any discussion? There are no amendments. Seeing none, House Bill 138, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 152, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 152, Very Rare or Uncommon Area Designation, sponsored by Representative Semlich.
There is an amendment, and I'd ask a reading clerk to read that first amendment in at this time.
House Bill 152, second reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 6.
Senator Rothfuss, would you like to speak to the amendment, please?
Thank you, Mr. President. At this time, I'd like to move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 152, Very Rare Uncommon Area Designations. Mr. President, based on the testimony that we heard yesterday, we definitely have a problem that needs to be addressed here with regards to how the very rare uncommon area designations have been used. The bill is a way to address that, but based on the testimony we heard, I was hoping there could be a compromised approach to it, which still gave us the same remedy to the situation, but without necessarily taking away the possibility of this designation. And, Mr. President, what I heard yesterday, the primary concern was the possibility that the Environmental Quality Council would be able to make these designations in the future without a great deal of oversight, and this could possibly be detrimental to development. So, Mr. President, the amendment that I have as amendment number 1 would basically leave things largely as they are right now, but going forward, any decision by the Environmental Quality Council would be subject to legislative review, effectively, by us, the legislature. So what that's going to do is if the EQC in the future were to try to designate a new area, before that designation would be complete, it would come to the state legislature for us to either concur or deny. On the other hand, if they were trying to remove designation, it would come to us again for either concurrence or denial. What I heard as the primary concern yesterday was that we didn't have elected oversight over these designations, and there was no good check on the system, so there had been abuses in the past. Mr. President, I see this as a compromised solution moving forward that allows us to have that elected official oversight through this body and through the body on the other side of the building while still representing the interests of these rare and uncommon land designations, where we can make sure that we do have the state authority to find an area and designate it as rare and uncommon to protect it from surface mining. So, Mr. President, that's my amendment, and I hope we'll get support from the body here, and I'd be certainly interested in answering or addressing any concerns from the body.
Other discussion, I'm going to call on Senator Driscoll, and I'll go to Senator Bebaugh.
Opposed, great senator from the ivory towers. This is absolutely a terrible amendment as far as what it does. Goes absolutely opposed to what the intent of the bill was. The intent of the bill was to take something and fix it that's been a huge problem, and what this does is put a Band-Aid on a wound that really is not going to be fixed in this way. And we have all of the oversight. When they get ready to go in and mine right now, you have to go through a whole series of governmental regulations already. We've got huge amounts of oversight that were not there at the time this was put in. This is absolutely an unnecessary part of the statutes, and the best fix to it is to remove it and leave it as the bill stands.
Senator Bebaugh.
Well, thank you, Mr. President, and I really agree with my colleague from northeastern Wyoming and the way he described it. A couple of other things, though. All we're doing, if you really look at the debate we had yesterday, and it was some good debate, and that was one of the concerns, but it's just one of the concerns. And all you're doing is taking all those concerns instead of bringing it to the, first of all, a committee, first of all, other people to discuss it, and then to this floor. It's problematic. And I think that the private property issue is becoming once again in play, because, in fact, if the EQC did decide to designate something, they could say it's private property, and then they've taken private property, so then all we're doing is taking the decision from them to here. I think this is a bad amendment. I think we're making a policy decision about how we should proceed. The way we should proceed is the bill as it is written.
Go ahead, Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I don't know whether the legislative approval would have to be by statute, and I don't know whether such a statute would violate the letter of Article 3, Section 27, special and local laws prohibited. But, Mr. President, I don't think it's enumerated there, because I don't think that the 1890 Constitutional Convention would have conceived of such a bill. But I think it violates, Mr. President, the spirit of that, and gets us involved in some very local matters that really ought to be left to the executive branch. You know, this is not and should not be a full-time professional legislature, and this is the kind of provision in this amendment that tends to make us into a full-time professional legislature, and I would resist the amendment on that basis.
Other comment or questions before the sponsor takes his second opportunity? Seeing none, Senator Rothfuss, would you like to respond?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would, and I appreciate the rousing response and warmth towards this particular amendment. It's everything I had hoped. To address some of the points, Mr. President, concerning the fact that we already have oversight, what I heard yesterday was the fact that the oversight was not sufficient because it was not from an elected body. This meets that requirement. Regarding the comments from my good friend from Fremont County, that this is just one of the concerns and that there would still be the possibility of a private property taking. Well, this is a body that certainly respects that. This is a body that respects private property and understands when we want to weigh these things that we have to take that carefully into consideration, and providing a two-branch check on the process so you have executive and legislative oversight. I believe that we're addressing the concerns that we've had in the past where we have only one branch of oversight by a non-elected body. So I really do urge the body to give this some serious thought, and I think it does address all of the concerns on both sides of this issue, because there are some valid and useful aspects of this rare and uncommon lands as a tool for the state to protect our beauty and our natural resources. But I'm certainly sympathetic to the fact that we don't want it abused, Mr. President, and we don't want to overuse it. Regarding the concerns of my good colleague from Natrona County, with regard to it violating the Constitution because we're looking at local areas and that this might lead to a full-time legislature, this has only happened 8 or 9 times in the past. Now, there's some record-keeping problems, from my understanding, where we're not sure how many times or how many particular areas have been designated, but we'll say it's less than 10. In the entire history since the 70s of this taking place, it's only happened 10 times. I don't think we're in danger of overworking the legislature with additional considerations, because the EQC has to approve it and take an action going through the entire process, Mr. President, before it even takes place. And that being the case, I'm not entirely concerned that we have to worry about that. And again, Mr. President, with regard to looking at localities, we've done that a lot in here, but what we've tended to do is have an issue brought to us for approval, a project, for example. And then we've gone through the projects that have come to us, some wildlife trust issues, for example, and then we've approved those. So we are not digging in to specific areas as a legislature. We're just approving or denying a concept as a check, a natural check in the system. So I'm certainly sympathetic, Mr. President, to the concerns that have been raised by the opponents and raised with a quite sincere and thorough opposition. But the reality is this is a good compromise, and I think it protects our lands while protecting the interests of economic development in the state, Mr. President. So again, I'd urge adoption.
The question for us is in regard to second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 152. All those in favor of this amendment, please say aye. All those opposed say no.
No.
That amendment has failed. We are now on the second amendment. I'd ask the reading clerk read in the second amendment at this time.
House Bill 152, second reading amendment number 2, page 1, line 6.
Senator Rothfuss, would you like to continue with your amendment process?
Mr. President, if you like that one, you'll love this one. Anticipating the possibility of a rousing chorus of no's, Mr. President, I limited the language in this particular amendment so that it doesn't change in any way the process that occurs through the bill, with the exception of now if there is a removal of designation under the bill as legislated, we would have oversight of that removal. So it would go for legislative approval of the removal. So in other words, there will be no new designations, which is what this particular piece of legislation says. But rather than it just being the EQC that gets to make the removal decision in the future, we have oversight. And the concern for that is actually based on the very same concern that the sponsors of this bill brought up yesterday, which is that you do have the possibility of having some poor decisions made by a non-elected body in the future. And if we give an elected body oversight of those decisions, then we could prevent the possibility, for example, of Devil's Tower being de-designated and turned into a gravel pit. You know, that's effectively what we have here as a possibility. And I hope my good colleague from the northeastern part of the state does not want Devil's Tower to one day be a gravel pit. And with that, Mr. President, I would urge approval of this particular amendment.
And Senator Rothfuss, I do believe you need to move the amendment. I think you failed to move the amendment.
or not, yeah. Thank you, Mr. President. At this time, I would move second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 152 and appreciate a positive response.
Okay, thank you. Senator Bebout, and then we'll go to Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I the enthusiasm of my colleague from the Towers is evident when he forgets to move the amendment. But for all the reasons we just talked about, this is not a good amendment. And I would certainly think a gravel pit at Devil's Towers would actually have nothing to do with this, because we're talking about existing things that are in place. And last I heard, there was not a move to do that. Maybe my colleague from Northeast Wyoming could answer that question, but. But let's just don't bring it into the legislative process. Let's leave this bill the way it is.
Senator Scott, go ahead.
Mr. President, same argument as last time. Mr. President, I think I hear Russ Zimmer's truck revving up out in the lobby.
Any other discussion? Go ahead, Senator Driscoll.
Free shot. Last time it was proposed for a gravel pit was actually 1906 when the Geologic Survey came by, said it'd make a great road base. Probably led to maybe a monument designation, but not applicable to this. And basically, I think abuses are what has caused this. Let's kill the amendment and get on down the road.
Any other discussion? Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President, for my final time. Perhaps today. You know, I can understand the concern for not wanting to extend this into the future, but realistically, I think this is a very reasonable amendment and a very reasonable compromise. We are not trying to create new designations, but to say that there isn't any concern for the removal of designations and that on one hand, the EQC is not competent and not capable of creating new designations, Mr. President, and at the same time saying, but they'll do a great job of de-designating. That's just not reasonable, Mr. President. So you can have it one way or you can have it the other, but if we want as a body to say the EQC is not competent to designate new, rare, and uncommon lands, then I do think it's a reasonable compromise for us to say that we need a legislative review of the de-designation, and I do hope you will all support this particular amendment. Thank you.
Question for us. Regard to second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 152. All those in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
That amendment has failed. We're back on the bill. Probably time to move the bill along. I'm confused with all the conversation between ivory towers and devil's tower. House Bill 152, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 154, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 154, Multiple Special Handicap License Plate, sponsored by Representative Harvey.
Any discussion? Seeing none, House Bill 154, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 174, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 174, Designated Transfer of State Land, sponsored by Representative McComey.
Any discussion? Senator Bebout?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, we had some good discussion yesterday about this particular bill, whether or not these lands were trust lands or acquired lands. And we looked into it further, and we've talked to not only the Russ Knoll over at the management of our state lands, but also with the WLRC, and these are, in fact, acquired lands. They are not trust lands. And, of course, what that means, if it's an acquired land, it must be sold at auction unless the legislature directs otherwise. And if it's a trust land, as my colleague from Johnson County very clearly pointed out, and he was correct, it must be sold at auction. So these lands are not trust lands. They are acquired lands.
Further questions or discussions? Senator Case, go ahead.
Mr. President, thank you very much. Indeed, these are a category of lands called acquired lands, and I think I represented correctly yesterday that they've been under the Board of Charities and Reform. That's the way that they came in, and they were managed for the benefit of the institutions. As to whether or not it is required to go to auction or not, I think the jury's just a little bit still out on that one, Mr. President, but I think I was fully correct when I said on the floor these were not lands that came in with statehood that represent, you know, the trust obligations for both institutions and for our school children. These were acquired later, but they were acquired for the benefit of the institution under the Board of Charities and Reform at that time. And we're going to do more research. I've got a memo, and there'll be more information about what's actually required. My point is that in the spirit of the whole thing, the right thing to do is to have the auction. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Bebout, your second time. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. On the constitutional issue about trust lands versus acquired lands, I'll just read the Constitution, Article
18, Section 4, the legislature shall enact the necessary laws for the state disposal, leasing, or care of all lands that have been or may hereafter be granted to the state, acquired lands, and shall at the earliest practical period provide by law for the location of selected land that have been or may hereafter be granted by Congress to the state. And from an attorney general, what this really says is I think we have the legislative authority for acquired land to direct how it may be sold, which if we wanted to go along the route of saying that we have an appraised value and we do that, that we're certainly within the Constitution and our statutes.
Other discussion on House Bill 174. Seeing none, House Bill 174 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 179, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 179, Energy Improvement Program, sponsored by Representative Petroff.
No amendments. Is there discussion? Senator Christensen, go ahead.
Mr. President, yesterday a question was raised about the priority of the lien, and with a little bit of research in there, what we found was that that lien, that priority was up to the local government, whether it became the primary or subordinate to other liens, but it was a local question.
Okay, thank you. Others? Seeing none. House Bill 179, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 230, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 230, Eminent Domain Wind Energy Collector Systems 2, sponsored by Representative Brown.
Is there any discussion in regard to this bill? No amendments, seeing no discussion. House Bill 230, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 243, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 243, Human Remains, Training of Search and Rescue Dogs, sponsored by Representative Crone.
No amendments, discussion? Seeing none, House Bill 243, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 252, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 252, Review of State Executive Department Position, sponsored by Representative Harvey.
Any discussion? Seeing none, House Bill 252, having been read two separate times, question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 253, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 253, Wyoming Nurse Practice Acts Amendment, sponsored by Representative Kasparik.
Any discussion? Seeing none, House Bill 253, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 254, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 254, Property Taxation Appeal, sponsored by Representative Throne.
Any discussion? Seeing none, House Bill 254, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 255, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 255, Veterans Tax Exemption, sponsored by Representative Patton.
House Bill 255, is there any discussion before? Seeing none, House Bill 255, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list for us today?
Mr. President, consent list for today is as follows. House Bill 36, Cancer Control Act Amendments. House Bill 49, Primary Care Support Program. House Bill 73, Dental Services Freedom Bill. House Bill 129, Nuclear Energy Production Study. House Bill 135, State Lands Improvements 2. House Bill 136, Appointment to County Commissioner Vacancy. House Bill 139, Wyoming Veterans Memorial Highway. House Bill 151, Hydropower Development. House Bill 193, Nursing Care Facility Assessment. House Bill 203, Child Support Orders. House Bill 242, Insurance Surplus Lines. House Bill 248, Unlawful Protesting at a Funeral Amendments. And House Bill 249, Acceptance of Citation.
Would any member wish to have any of the bills removed from the third reading consent list? Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 36, Cancer Control Act Amendments.
House Bill 36, Cancer Control Act Amendments, has been removed. Senator Schiffer.
House Bill 129, Nuclear Energy Production Study.
House Bill 129, Nuclear Energy Production Study, has been removed. Any further requests for removal from the consent list? Senator Coe.
House Bill 249.
House Bill 249, Acceptance of Citation, is removed. Any other removals from the consent list? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? House Bill 49, House Bill 73, House Bill 135, House Bill 136, House Bill 139, House Bill 151, House Bill 193, House Bill 203, House Bill 242, and House Bill 248. I would ask the Chief Clerk to please call the roll.
Mr. President, point of order.
Yes.
House Bill 249, rather than 248.
I'm sorry. I believe that the bill you referenced has been removed, and I did reference, I think, the appropriate bill. So with that, I would ask that the Chief Clerk go ahead and call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader. Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 ayes. House Bill 49, are there any changes?
Conflict.
Ross, conflict.
Rothfuss, I
don't know. Rothfuss, I to know. Dockstader, I to know. Case, I to know.
Nicholas,
I to know. Hines, I to know. Burns, I to know. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 49, 23 ayes, 6 noes, 1 conflict. House Bill 73, are there any changes?
Scott, no.
Scott, I to know.
Case,
I to know. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 73, 28 ayes, 2 noes. House Bill 135, are there any changes? Case, I to know. Driscoll, conflict. Meyer, I to know. Perkins, I to know. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 135. 25 ayes, 3 noes, 2 conflicts. House Bill 136. Are there any change? Oh, I'm on the wrong one. House Bill 136, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 136, 30 ayes. House Bill 139, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 139, 30 ayes. House Bill 151, are there any changes? Rothfuss, aye to no. Schiffer, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Burns, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 151, 26 ayes, 4 noes. House Bill 193, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 193, 30 ayes. House Bill 203, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 203, 30 ayes. House Bill 242, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House 242, 30 ayes. House Bill 248, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 248, 30 ayes.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 49, House Bill 73, House Bill 135, House Bill 136, House Bill 139, House Bill 151, House Bill 193, House Bill 203, House Bill 242, and House Bill 248 have passed the Senate. Other third reading bills. Senate File 36, third reading of the Senate, or the House Bill 36, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 36, Cancer Control Act Amendments, an act relating to the Wyoming Cancer Control Act, sponsored by Representative Escobel, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is no amendment, but is there discussion, Senator Nicholas?
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to remind folks that this is a brand new program. We put in an appropriation that appropriated funds for the expected utilization. It hasn't been utilized as much as the first expectation is that set the budget levels. And now the notion is since all the monies haven't been used, let's expand utilization by expanding the group of folks that can use it more often. I think we don't know what the full cost of this program is going to be as it gets ramped up, as more people become aware of it, and as the utilization grows. This is a group of folks that are not Medicaid eligible. They don't have insurance. But they do have some resources, and we're providing for the first screening. And it seems to me that to go on to provide, to expand the program before we know what the total cost is not prudent. This is a program that we need to, as with all new health programs, we need to move slowly and make sure that we're not creating a program that we can't afford. I'd urge that you vote no.
Other discussion? Go ahead, Senator Haster.
I'd urge you to vote aye on this. You know, as I stated yesterday when I had a conversation with the director, that, you know, this is tobacco settlement money. You know, what better use of tobacco settlement money? But the biggest factor is the fact that when they first put this out was that
the statewide providers have given them a better deal on the cost of the screenings. And that's where they have the additional money and the additional funding. That's why they have that. It hasn't cost them near as much as when they first put in the budget. The anticipated amount per screening was going to be X number of dollars. And the report that I have gotten is that it's come in considerably less than that. So that's availed them to the additional dollars to be able to do the additional screenings. Tobacco settlement money, they've been getting a great deal. They have additional funds. I urge your support.
Any other discussion? Senator Burns.
Mr. President, when it comes to colorectal cancer, I have a point to make. And that is, I get a little tense. No, in all seriousness, Mr. President, I would urge a no vote on this bill simply because as the chairman of JEC said, we don't know what the costs are going to be here. And the fact is, what we're doing is, by doing this, is we're actually allowing any other department to say, oh, well, we're going to just cut back a little on the spending that we don't want in this particular program, regardless of what the legislature said, and we want to go in this other direction. And we're actually giving them permission to do that. If we're going to go with this program, we need, on the follow-up, we need more information from them, we need more statistics, and we actually need, I think, something that is more deliberate. And that they should bring this back next year as part of the budget.
Thank you for your pointed comments. Any other discussion? Senator Landon?
Thank you, Mr. President. That was certainly a scary sight back there. I respectfully disagree with my colleague from Sheridan County. You know, folks, partly personal, this is a program that probably saved my life. 3 or 4 years ago when I was put on the Labor and Health Committee, I became aware of this program, and I thought, well, you know, somebody really ought to practice what he preaches, and so I decided to go in and have a check. Well, it's a good thing that I did, and I'm very fortunate that I have the wherewithal to be able to go back in, because that's what the doctor told me to do. And you know, I think about the people who don't have that wherewithal, and that's the population we're talking about right here. If they're told they've got to go in a year, I've heard testimony on the floor that, hey, they ought to be able to put that away. They ought to be able to put a second lien on the house or whatever it takes to go to that second appointment. Well, some can't do that. And, you know, Mr. President, this is budgeted money. The only way that this program expands is if we come in the next session and we give them more money. This is already budgeted out of tobacco settlement monies. It all it does is assure that money is going to be utilized for the purposes that we set up this program to do. We talked about yesterday the fact that we're talking maybe 16 to 24 individuals who might possibly qualify for that second exam. And then it's a case-by-case determination by the department. I encourage you to vote yes on this bill.
Go ahead, Senator Nicholas, and then we'll go to the minority. All right, go ahead, Senator Hastert, and we'll go to Senator Nicholas for a second time. Go ahead, Senator Hastert.
Chairman, or Mr. President, again, just the reiteration of the fact that this is money that is already budgeted, has been stated, and the fact that, you know, we're going to encourage other programs, this isn't to expand. They're not, you know, we're going to penalize them because they got a good deal on the screenings. So, you know, after we budgeted money out of tobacco settlement, the providers around the state, and it's all-inclusive, have said, you know, we can do this for a much less cost to the state. So they're saving money, so that affords them the opportunity to provide the additional screenings. As my good colleague from Natronis said, you know, that this is a small number of people. The fact is that it's not going to expand anything. It's money that's already there, and it's just simply saying we got a great deal on these screenings. It didn't cost near as what we thought we could, so we're able to provide additional services. I encourage your support.
Go ahead, Senator Nicholas, second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I want to address first this issue that somehow, because these funds have been taken out of tobacco settlement dollars, they're somehow special, and that it's okay to spend those monies differently than other things. The tobacco to settlement funds are just as important as your general fund or any other dollars. They simply happen to be earmarked from a different source. And there are plenty of programs deserving of those monies, those dollars are there to supplement our general fund. So under no circumstances should you vote for something simply because it comes out of a source of funds that you think is that ought to be spent with less scrutiny than your general funds. With respect to reversions, the Department of Health has requests out there that we didn't fund, many requests out there, millions of dollars of requests, and they were on their first, second, third, and fourth tier of priority that we didn't fund. And this program, the expansion of this program, was not even listed on those top four or five. So if your position is what we ought to do is go out and fund programs to save lives, then go back to that list and move the list down one more notch and fund more Department of Health programs. But the reversion dollars will be spent. They'll be spent next year, but frankly, they'll be spent on programs that are likely to be more important than this. I'd urge you to vote no.
Other discussion? Senator Nutting.
Certainly the main population that we're concerned about here are the patients, but I would like to speak a little bit from the healthcare provider aspect. One rule of medical practice is don't do a test unless you're going to follow up on the results. So to do a test that then we're not going to follow up on really leaves the medical provider in a precarious situation. And we've said that it gives the patient time enough to know that this test is going to come up and they can arrange for it. But for those people who are deciding whether to buy food for the day or to save for a health measure to be done down the road, denial really sets in, and it's easy to make that decision of, well, I'm not having any health problems with that right now, so I will take care of this other problem first. So I urge passage of this bill from the perspective of the health care provider also.
Senator Landon, second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to clarify. I appreciate my colleague from Albany County. He always has some very good things to say, and he's absolutely right. These funds are no different than any other funds that we deal with, folks. The point I was trying to make is that I can't think of a more appropriate way to use these tobacco settlement monies than a program like this, and to make sure that it is fully utilized. That's what those funds ought to be used for. We've talked about using them for any number of things, but this program right here is one that saves lives, and I think it's a good bill.
Question being called. House Bill 36, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? I'd ask the Chief Clerk to please call the roll.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Amrick?
Aye.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks? Hines,
no.
Jennings,
no.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
no.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
no.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 19 ayes, 11 noes.
House Bill 36, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 36 has passed the Senate. Senator Nicholas, go ahead, and then we'll go to the majority floor.
Let me have the privilege of the floor, please.
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like you all to welcome a close friend of all of ours, Frank Phillips, sitting over here. Frank was not only our colleague on the House, but all the good habits that I have as a JAC chairman, I learned from him, and we were co-chairs as chairman. He's a wonderful sense of humor, close friend. If you'd all give Frank a welcome.
Well, welcome to the Senate, Representative Philp, and so you know, you're always welcome on this side, for sure. We're always very glad to see you. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Just a minute. Behind you in the West Balcony is the Wyoming Youth Challenge Group with their adult sponsor, Barbara Smith, and I'd ask you to welcome them to the Senate.
And I would say to those members in the balcony that I know how difficult your program is and how strenuous and how rigorous it is, but we would all just urge you to stay the course. I think there will be much benefit after you've completed that. So you have our encouragement and you have our support. Next House bill for our consideration is House Bill 129, third reading of the House bill.
House Bill 129, Nuclear Energy Production Study, an act relating to nuclear energy, sponsored by Representative Harshman, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senator Schiffer, would you like to speak to this bill?
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the Senate, I urge you to look at this bill very carefully. A number of years ago, we had lots of select committees. We had a select committee under every rock in the state of Wyoming, practically. And gradually we pulled away from that. And we've said that if we're going to study something, it'll go to a standing committee and get the look that it deserves by the entire committee. This appears to be a trend back towards select committees. They were not successful in the past. They are not an efficient way to operate. But in addition to that, there's some other considerations. The nuclear industry is right now in transition, it appears to me. And luckily, we are a member of the Energy Council. They're looking at this, an entire industry on a nationwide and, in fact, a global basis, because that's what the nuclear industry is. It's a global industry. And we need to be part of it. And we are. And this body appropriates money. It runs us somewhere around $60,000 per biennium to belong to the Energy Council, to participate. We send our delegates there. We participate in their study. That's appropriate. We bring it back. It should go to a standing committee. It should be looked at. It should be encouraged. But let's do it right and in the right context. It is not specifically a state industry. It's a global industry. The other thing that concerns me, this evening, the committee number nine, the Minerals Committee, will look at their interim agenda. This should be on it. That's the appropriate way to handle. If you want to look at the nuclear industry, that's the appropriate place. That's the appropriate time. I urge you to vote no on this bill. It's unnecessary. The money isn't worth it. And it subverts a process that we have that I believe works very well.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. President, excuse me. These are valid points, and Mr. President, I understand why there's a lot of cases where putting a select committee together might not be the right approach. This is a relatively small select committee, and part of the purpose of it is to bring in experts, to bring in energy experts, and to bring the university in and really have a focus on what we can do in this state. And that is the key, really, to why we want this and why the Energy Council isn't going to be sufficient. It's because this group is going to be looking at what Wyoming can do to grow this industry in the future, how we can play a role, where we can expand, and what our resources are. That's not the role for Energy Council. Energy Council is intended to look at the international picture, particularly for this hemisphere, to figure out how it can grow as an industry overall. But that's not enough for the state of Wyoming. Wyoming needs to figure out what our path forward is and what our assets are. For example, I mentioned this before, but in the northeastern part of the state, we've got a possibility of looking at thorium. We've got possibilities of expanding in-situ mining for uranium in the state. We have a lot of regulatory structure that may or may not be consistent with moving these types of projects forward, and this is the type of body, this is the type of activity that can look at what we're doing right now, what's standing in the way from us expanding that, and how we can best move forward, Mr. President. So I believe that this is a valuable task force. It's not asking for a lot of money. It's not asking for a lot of activity, but it is asking for the ability to focus a little deeper than what we'll be able to do with the Joint Interim Committee on a topic that has a great deal of importance to the future of Wyoming. I mentioned before, 20% of our electricity in the United States right now is from nuclear. We play an important role in that. We're the primary exporter within the United States of uranium, and we have a great future for nuclear in Wyoming. I believe this is an approach at looking towards that future, and I would certainly urge adoption of this particular bill. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Senator Bebout, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. And once again, my colleague from Johnson County makes some good points, particularly about the global aspect. And certainly that's something that we as a body should consider. But what we need to do is take that global aspect, learn from it through entities like the Energy Council and those different types of organizations, and then bring it back to the state level. And I think that's one key thing this particular bill does. The other thing, Mr. President, and I agree on select committees, and sometimes they do some good things and sometimes they don't. But from my perspective, where I think a select committee really does work is where there are a lot of different areas that you start out with that have effects on different standing committees. And, Mr. President, if you look at what this bill really says, it talks about areas including taxation, which is revenue, unappropriated waters of the state, which is ag, private and public sector partnerships. It goes on to talk about different storage and reprocessing technologies. I would submit to the Senate that this is a first step to see how this overall thing affects all of these from this task force and then narrow it down. And if there's a way to proceed to help our state in this important area, then we could do it.
Other discussion?
Question being called. House Bill 129 having been read three separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass? I'd ask the Chief Clerk to please call the roll.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Amrick?
Aye.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
No.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Bonflaturn?
Aye.
President Anderson?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 24 ayes, 6 noes.
House Bill 129, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 129 has passed the Senate. House Bill 235, it's third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 235, Natural Gas Vehicles, an act relating to motor vehicles, sponsored by Representative Roscoe. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment, and I'd ask the reading clerk to read that amendment in at this time, please.
House Bill 235, third reading, amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 1, line 4.
Senator Nutting, would you like to move that amendment and speak to it, please?
Mr. President, I move amendment number 1 to House Bill 235. This amendment allows for the departments involved to make a choice of whether to retrofit vehicles for utilization of natural gas or whether to purchase new vehicles already that already utilize the natural gas. This is an essential amendment to our economy of the state. We have lots of natural gas availability. It's also important to our becoming independent as a state that we better utilize our state resources. So I really urge that the departments have that choice. The cost to retrofit pickup trucks is $10,000, so that if we're primarily looking at small pickup trucks, that is a small amount. However, most of the vehicles require $50,000 to $60,000. For example, a Class 8 tractor would require $70,000 to retrofit. So it may be that the economical cost-effective decision would be to purchase a new one rather than to retrofit. Another part of this amendment is to increase that amount to be allowed for this program to the current $200,000 back to $400,000. Given the cost to either retrofit or purchase, $200,000 wouldn't go very far. So I do request that amount be increased back to the original $400,000. Again, we need to really make this a good option for our state, both for the economy and for statewide independence. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Nicholas, and then we'll go to the other senator.
Amendment be divided, lines 1 through 12 being Division 1. And lines 13 through 17 being Division 2.
That is divisible. Go ahead and speak to the first division. First division being lines 1 through 12, second being 13 on. Go ahead.
Mr. President, I would urge your support for Division 1.
We are on Division 1. Is there any other discussion regarding Division? Question being called on Division 1 down to line 12. All those in favor of the first division, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. Division 1 has passed. We are now on final portion of the amendment, Division 2. Go ahead, Senator Jennings.
Mr. President, I think we need to look at what we're really trying to do. We're not talking about going out and buying tractor trailers or converting tractor trailers. There might be... There's one department head that I believe drives a Hummer, so that might be the closest that you're going to get to a truck. It's mainly going to be cars that are transporting folks up and down the road. There might be a couple of pickups in it, but I don't think that anybody really envisioned doing buses and big trucks and stuff like that. The $200,000 will get you about 20 vehicles if they shop good and do some price comparing and shopping on the conversion kits. They might get a few more. And at the end of the interim, we can have that data and save a little money doing it.
Any other discussion regarding the second division? Senator Nicholas, go ahead and speak to the second division.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd urge you to let us know who has that Hummer. With respect to this amendment, folks, the part of the reason why we are moving our vehicles into the fleet is to help the private sector move and develop these fast fueling centers. And so there's a state effort to do there. This is really, it's not a huge amount. Vote as you will. Remember this, we're coming back. This is an appropriation that's effective from July 11th. We'll be back here 6 months later, and we'll have an assessment to see how it's working, whether retrofitting these vehicles. They are dual gas and natural gas units, But I guess I'm kind of curious, after we go through a couple hundred thousand dollars worth of retrofits, whether state employees are actually doing it, because it takes time to fuel these vehicles, so that if it turns out that they just don't have the time, or it's too inconvenient to fuel them, we could easily spend a bunch of money that's not well spent. So it seems to me that we can slow this down, come back and take a look at it next year. But on the other hand, I think we do, as a state, do have an interest in pushing this technology forward, because we have plenty of natural gas. This is the place to start. I think it's easy to justify $400,000. Those are just sort of the pros and cons to it.
Any other discussion on the second division? This division does contain an appropriation, and I'd ask, I think the yeas and nays are in order. I'd ask Chief Clerk to call a roll in regard to division number two, third reading amendment number one, House Bill 235, that being lines 13 through the remainder of the amendment. Chief Clerk, call a roll.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines? Hines?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Martin?
Aye. Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Von Fleitern?
Aye.
President Anderson?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 12 ayes, 18 noes.
Division 2 has failed. We're now back on the bill. Any other discussion? House Bill 235 having been read three separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines? Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Fleitern?
Aye.
President Anderson?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 28 ayes, 2 noes.
House Bill 235, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 235 has passed the Senate. House Bill 249, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 249, acceptance of citation and act relating to criminal procedure, sponsored by Representative Nicholas. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Discussion, Senator Coe.
Well, Mr. President, I ask this to be pulled off. I've had a couple of these in my driving career, although not for a couple of days. But, you know, we're changing how we do business here all of a sudden, and I want you to look at this bill a little bit. I think that when you sign something, it means something. You know, if I get stopped and he comes up to my window, and I say, well, thanks for making my whole day, and I'm just tickled to death to accept this, and I promise I'm going to go to court, I'll be there. I think we ought to leave it the way it is. I don't think it's broken. Think about this bill when you vote aye or nay on it. I'm not sure it's necessary.
Any other discussion in regard to this bill? Seeing none.
President.
Yes, go ahead, Senator Perkins.
I don't think that it really changes much. In fact, I don't think it changes really anything under the current situation. The only thing that it really does is change whether or not you write the signature or not. Whether if you sign, that's your promise to appear. In this case, now all you're going to do is accept it. And in lieu of that, it's going to It's going to decrease administration, should decrease costs. It should increase effectiveness and accuracy. I'd urge you to vote for it.
Other discussion? Senator Christensen.
Mr. President, I'd urge you to vote for it also. If we look back over at the cross-outs and the additions, what I see this bill doing is it just reduces that point of conflict. It doesn't change the fact that that a person has been stopped alongside the road, that you're being issued a citation. All it changes is that potential argument that quite often results in somebody going to jail because they won't sign a ticket. This reduces and really cuts away from that point. It doesn't change the fact that there's been a citation. But if anything, I think this is probably more citizen-friendly. The fact that you don't sign or that you don't, it doesn't reduce your need to be in court. And so I think it works on both sides, and it's a benefit either way. Thank you.
Other discussion?
House Bill 249, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall a bill pass? Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
No.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Anderson?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 23 ayes, 7 noes.
House Bill 249, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 249 has passed the Senate.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we are at that order of business for considerations of bills on general file.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate resolve itself into committee of the whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion is carried, and I would ask for Senator Emmerich to approach the chair.
Committee of the Whole, please come to order. First bill is House Bill 23. Reading clerk will please read the bill. House Bill 23, Sex Offender Registration Amendments, an act relating to sex offender registration and notification, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Esquibel, Hicks, and Perkins. Senator Perkins, Chairman. It was re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations, which reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Hastert, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, Von Flatern. Senator Nicholas, Chairman. Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the committee hold rises to report, they do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 23. If you'll, with your leave, I'll go ahead and explain the bill, Mr. Chairman. What we've got, walk down memory lane with the body for a little bit. We met and we instituted a significant portions of the Adam Walsh and Jessica's Law provisions, and among those were a significant number of sex offender registration requirements. And so now we have two databases that are out there. We have a database that is basically a confidential database that's ultimately reserved for law enforcement and other to track individuals who are on the sex offender registration. And then there's also a public database that's available to the public that anybody can get by going to the Internet. And so ultimately in doing that, as we've gone forward, there is a office called SMART Office, which is a federal agency that went out and they review compliance with the Adam Walsh Act and the other acts that dealing with sex offender registration on a federal level. And as a carrot and a string that come out of that, there's a certain amount of funding that comes, not specifically for this, but funding that comes from the state, from the federal government to Wyoming to assist mostly with drug enforcement for law enforcement. And as the carrot and the string, they want substantial compliance with the Adam Walsh Act and the SMART provisions. And in, under, and the threat of that, the carrot and the stick, is that is a loss of 10% of that funding. Right now that funding is about between $800,000 and $900,000 a year to the state, if I remember the testimony correctly. And so obviously what's at risk in this bill is 10% of that funding. Now, that's one reason. The other reason in the bill is we came through and anyway, there was a our state law enforcement agency sent off to federal SMART office reviews our bill and find us in substantial compliance except for a few areas. The purpose of this bill is to correct those areas. And so as you go through this, there's two kind of policy decisions that you're weighing here. Is one, is this the right thing to do with respect to sex offender registration? And two, the other policy is whether or not it's vital to you about this $85,000-$86,000 that's at risk if this bill doesn't pass, so that we don't come into substantial compliance. So there's two reasons there to vote against it or to vote for it. Whether it's a split decision or how those weigh in your mind, I just identify those to you. Mr. Chairman, with respect to the bill, what we did is we came in here, and it does one of the areas that we talked about to kind of come into contact first on page 2, on lines 18 to 20, is what do you do with juvenile sex offenders? And so you've got a juvenile, someone, a young man or young woman who's under the age of 18 who's been convicted of a sex offense. How are they going to be treated in the database with respect to the database? The Adam Walsh Act requires that they be included in the database for law enforcement, but ultimately, as you'll see in this bill, they're going to be excluded from the public database. So what that means is that if there's a registered sex offender who's an adolescent, they're going to still be subject to the 750-feet requirement notice of around your community, around your house, around where they live, and also local schools in the area will also receive that notification. But it won't be made available to the general public. With respect to the other additions, if you go stop at page 2, one of the things they want to identify is not just the automobile that they drive, but also any vehicle. Vehicle also will include any aircraft, any motor vehicle or trailers that they have. It includes watercraft, and also it wouldn't apply to just one, but any one that they have ownership or access to. That goes in the database. You see, the procedure comes back in talking about the place of employment. That's the place and physical address. And you'll see that any place where they had the name or location, they're going to insert physical address. So that's another one. Another big addition, as you see on page 4, beginning in lines 15 and through the bottom of page 4, they're going to include internet and electronic communication identifiers. So cell phone numbers, internet, or email account types of information, Twitter accounts, any of those types of things that you might go out there. Those will be on the confidential database, not on the public database, but on the confidential database. You have on the bottom of page 5, you see, and you'll see this throughout, any time that there was a time limit. Before, there were varying time limits. Sometimes it was 10 days, sometimes it was 3 days, sometimes it was something else. This comes back through and clarifies that in each instance, whether it's an action required by the offender or by the sheriff's department or by the DIC or attorney general's office, it's going to have to be done within 3 working days. And so you'll see that change in a number of places. The other thing then you get into when you get on pages 6, 7, 8, and 9, There is this has to do in the classification of these offenses where you class that you're in the sex offenders were placed into one of three classes based upon their harassment. This is in existing law, and so there's some changes here to try and make that. And the difference, what that is basically there's a high risk, medium risk, and low risk. It affects how long you're going to be on the sex offender registry, and it affects that. And so these changes bring us into compliance with what the federal statute required during of grouping like offenses together in order of in manner of severity. And so you'll see those changes there. Probably the next biggest thing that happened is back on page 11. You'll see as once you go through these where these sections that talk and classify them to levels, then we get into a section that talks about when and how these individuals come off and or apply to be removed from the sex offender registry. And ultimately, if depending on your level of offense, if you have a period where you've provided you haven't had any other violations, you've served all your sentence or parole or probation requirements, you have lived basically what's called a clean life, or which is defined in the statute, which basically is a crime-free type of life for a period of time, then you're subject to relief and to be removed from the sex offender registry. And actually decrease the amount of time in one case from 5 years down to 10 years. And so that's what you see on pages 12 and 13. We talk about termination of duty to a register. On page 13, you'll see there, this is where the page 13, this is when we get back to talking about juveniles or minors who have been adjudicated as and required sex offenders. This is the provision that says that they don't have to be placed on the public registry, but they will be on the confidential registry. And the other information that's not going to be included for a juvenile offender who's on the registry. And then you see down here where we talked about the termination of duty to when they can stop registering, when that is, and it depends on the level of severity and if they've lived a clean life. So some of those changes went around. There wasn't the only reason or catalyst for changing those was compliance with the federal act. And so with that, that's a brief explanation. There is a standing committee amendment for the committee number 2. I did pass out there is a page on your desk from the Wyoming Psychological Association. There was a doctor who came to me after this was passed out of committee, Mr. Chairman. He was concerned that about registration, its effect on the treatment of sex offenders. He's concerned about the registration requirement and the detrimental effect that registration in general has on sex offenders and their potential for their recovery and treatment. He didn't come to any of the interim committee. This was an interim committee bill for the judiciary. He didn't come to any. There was no. They never appeared at any of the meetings during the year. They didn't appear at committee meetings on either side of the House, I believe, but did show up at the Senate Appropriations Committee hearing that had to do with this bill. And I promised that I would distribute that to the body so that they could read that and that they would have the information before them. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll stand for questions, and also at this time I would ask that you read in the committee the whole amendment number 1, a standing committee amendment number 1. Which was actually a standing committee amendment by the Judiciary Committee.
House Bill 23, standing committee amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 12, line 16.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move standing committee amendment number 1 to House Bill 23 and ask for favorable consideration. What we did in this is we went back and we wanted to make it clear that with respect to juvenile offenders, that their internet identifiers and telephone numbers are going to be are specifically excluded from the public registry. And with that, that's what that amendment does. So at this point in time, I'll stand for questions on the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Perkins, did you move that amendment, please?
I think I did.
Okay.
You ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Perkins' motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That amendment has passed. We're back on the bill. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Perkins.
Mr. Chairman, at this time I had to ask and move Standing Committee Amendment Number 2 to House Bill 23. And with the indulgence of the chairman of the Appropriations Committee, what they did in this is as it came through.
Would the reading clerk please read the amendment, please?
House Bill 23, Standing Committee Amendment Number 2 to engrossed copy, page 1, line 15.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move Standing Committee Amendment Number 2 to House Bill 23 and ask for favorable consideration. What this is ultimately it costs. There's a database that's in there. There's an independent contractor who maintains this database. When we do this, obviously, we're changing the requirements on the database. There needs to be some work done to provide for these changes if this bill becomes law. Accordingly, there was initially appropriation was about $144,000. As it went through Senate Appropriations, they looked at that, decided that maybe with some competition, some creative effort on behalf of the Department of Justice and maybe being a little bit more defined in the scope of their work, that they determined that $66,000 would be enough. I urge you to support the amendment. It seems to me a little bit crazy that we'd spend $144 to save $80. So at least this way we're roughly at the break-even statute, at the break-even point at what's at risk with respect to the federal grants. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Are you ready for the question?
Question.
We are on the amendment. All those in favor of Senator Perkins' motion to adopt Standing Committee Number 2, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? That amendment has passed. We are back on the bill. Pardon?
Third committee, the whole amendment?
There is a third amendment. Will the reading clerk please read that in?
House Bill 23, Committee of the Whole, Amendment Number 1 to engross copy, page 1, line 8.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, I would move the
You're on now. You're turned on.
The whole amendment to 23 and ask for your favorable consideration. Mr. Chairman, we had quite a discussion in appropriations. We were kind of bewildered why the department showed up because there was no original appropriation on the bill. But we did get schoolhoused a little bit, and there's like 1,440 of these folks out there in our communities. And approximately half of them are from out of state. And we asked them, well, why are these guys coming in? And they really couldn't answer that. And I said, well, why are we paying for this registration? Shouldn't they be? And we had that discussion and found out in appropriations, as you often do, that all you can deal with is the money. And so this is a way, I think, that we do deal with the money in the long run. There's going to be ongoing costs. And what this amendment does is create an account within the division and says that each person required to be registered shall pay the division a fee of $90 on 1st of July and 1st of January of each year. That goes into account, and the division can expend those funds for purposes of implementing the requirements of this act. And I guess it just seemed like the right thing to do, Mr. Chairman. These sex offenders should be paying for their own registration, that it shouldn't be coming out of the general fund or tobacco trust funds or any other place where we may have to find money to provide for this registration. So, Mr. Chairman, I guess, voted up, voted down. But I think this is the right thing to do, and I ask for your vote.
Senator Von Flatern.
And this costs a lot of money. I mean, it's for the safety of the citizens, but yet the offenders are coming here from out of state. But the question that arose was, and what if they don't pay you? Is it their way of not being put on the site? Do we put them on anyway? Do we hold them accountable? We don't have a way of attaching their paycheck or something. They probably don't. Many may not have a paycheck. So I ask for you to vote this down because there's just no way of enforcing it beyond this.
Senator Perkins.
Mr. Chairman, just a question for the sponsor of the amendment. And I guess that would be ultimately the question is that what happens if this is not paid? I mean, if you don't register or you fail to register, it's a crime. In fact, it's a felony. That's what the act, the current law is. And so if they don't pay this, have they committed a felony or is there other types of enforcement or how does the sponsor of the bill see this enforced if it's not paid?
Are you ready for the question? Senator Meyer.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I want to answer the two previous speakers a little bit to some of their questions about the penalty in this. Of course, there isn't a penalty provision in it. However, Mr. Chairman, I think the reason why a person may pay this is that it would continue their clean slate. And so they have, a pretty good reason to pay for this registration. And, you know, I think that we need to do something to make sure that we might not be the only state that doesn't ask these folks to pay. Now, there hasn't been any testimony one way or the other. We couldn't get that information. But I think there's in a lot of states that they do require people to pay for the certain things that they have to do when they create perform a criminal act. And Mr. Chairman, I think this is a reasonable amount of money to ask these folks to pay for the continuing costs. After all, I believe they are the offenders, and the taxpayer necessarily isn't.
Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Meyer's motion to adopt the Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 to House Bill 23, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
That amendment has failed. We're back on the bill. Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I've got a question on the bill. And my question is basically, is this just a prospective law, or is this some species of an ex post facto law? And let me give you a hypothetical. Suppose you had a circumstance where an individual was adjudicated delinquent as a kid for what would now be called a date rape. At age 16, they went out and committed that particular offense. And now they're, it's 50 years later, you know, that thing got expunged way back when, as juvenile offenses can be, and they're 50 years later, they're 66, and we pass this law, do they then have to go register as a sex offender, or are we only going to deal with it going forward? Because a number of the procedures and some of the time-limiting good behaviors, it would seem to me, work going forward but don't work if this comes in and suddenly all the people that have committed it are subject to it.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The When we originally enacted the sex offender registration requirements five sessions ago, there was a date, and I don't remember that date, and I'll be happy to find that and report on it, but there was a date, and I don't remember where it came from, but there was a specific date that we instituted that went back, it seemed like it was 10 or 15 years. And so that was the date that's been in effect for the last 5 years. The reason I don't believe it's ex post facto is ultimately the individual, the registration requirements imposed on these, the only thing this does is potentially change the registration requirement. And in fact, for good behavior, in some instances, it actually reduces the amount of time that a person has to be on the registration requirement, has to register by up to 5 years on if you're at one of the lower tiers. So it actually, in some respects, benefits that. We haven't created any new crimes. We've expanded and clarified what information has to be required by the offenders, and we haven't dealt with that time. And I'll be happy to report back to the body on what that date was and see if I can remember the why we picked that date. There was a particular reason, and it escapes me now why we did that.
Senator Nutting.
Mr. Chairman, it has been frequently said that the reason we had World War II was because we were overly punitive after World War I. And I'd like for those who have more experience in the judicial system to just give a perspective. Where are we on the continuum with sex offenses? Are we getting close to just right? Are we on the verge of being overly punitive? Where are we on that continuum?
Thanks, buddy.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I don't know if it's a Goldilocks, I think it was, this one was just right. You know, that's a significant policy debate. What we had and what the decision this body made, was it 5 years? It would be 2007. In 2007 was to adopt the Adam Walsh Act and and Jessica's Law. And we adopted about 90 odd percent of it. The vast majority of it we adopted into law, and the body voted on that. And so what we have, what we were being beat up with back then is because we didn't have Jessica's Law, because we hadn't adopted the Adam Walsh Act, we'd become a haven for sex offenders to move here. And so ultimately this body made that decision and we adopted that. I would think that from what we hear in Judiciary Committee, you would think we might still be a little bit on the low side because it's kind of like, understandably so, people who've had tragedy in their lives, whether it's from drunken driving, or whether it's some sex offenders and the effects on their families, you know, there just is not enough that you can do to protect them, their families, or others from suffering the same things that have happened. And so you get into that, and that's a policy decision for this body where we are. We have, recently as a year ago, I think we adopted an additional provision of the Adam Walsh Act that made mandatory minimum sentences in certain instances of 15 or 25 years as mandatory minimums in some of the most egregious instances of sex offenses against minors. So I don't know where we are, but I do know that we continue to hear and I anticipate we'll continue to receive people who want to make the law tougher. On the other hand, we do receive, although much more limited, and obviously they're a much more insular minority, are the individuals who have to register and from their families. And there's no question that it's a significant burden, not only on individuals who committed the crimes, but their families, wives and spouses, children, all suffer because of the actions of the offender. So whether or not we're about right, I don't know. This body, I think, has done what it's done. I think that we're probably. I don't think we're on the lenient scale anymore, but I'm sure we're not as strict as others.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, let me try a different answer to that question. I think as a general proposition, we've probably gone one step too far already. And I say that, I know a lady in Casper, retired, Medicare age, has to register over something she did 40, 50 years ago. I don't know how long ago, something like that. And something bad judgment. Ms. Chairman, she's a dear, sweet lady. She's absolutely no threat to anybody. But she has to go through all that embarrassment of registering and getting tagged. When we're doing that sort of thing, we're just being punitive for the sake of being punitive. And we need to review this underlying law and see what's causing that sort of thing, because that's what we're doing. And it detracts from the purpose of identifying the people who really are a threat. And there's no question but those are there. So I think we've, Mr. Chairman, already gone a step too far. And I would submit to the Senate that this bill goes a step too far. We're talking about juveniles. You know, when you get adults that commits a sex offense, Mr. Chairman, you've got, I think, significant risks that they're going to reoffend. Some of these people are particularly bad that way. Kids are different. You know, their brain's not fully developed. If anybody's interested, there's a very interesting article. I think it's the most recent Scientific American as to exactly why the brains of the teenagers are different and cause them to do things or be liable to do things that adults just wouldn't do. And particularly in this area, kids can get carried away, make mistakes. That's why we treat them as juvenile offenders. That's why the records are expunged. We expect them to rehabilitate themselves, and they usually do. And here we're reaching beyond that, and we're going to go out and tag them. And yeah, the feds require it, so what? That's almost an argument not to do it, given the way Washington tends to follow Enzi's law, and that anything worth reacting to is worth overreacting to. They've gone a step too far. Yeah, maybe it'll cost us a little money, although we're spending almost as much to get the additional federal funding as we'll get. So I don't think that's a big argument. I think we need to solve this one on the merits. And I would suggest, Mr. Chairman of the Senate, that this bill probably goes one step too far, and that it would be just as well if we defeated it.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll begin by seconding the comments of the good senator from Natrona County, but that wasn't why I rose, but it was certainly a speech that I'd go along with. Why I rose was just some curiosity from the sponsors. On page 4, lines 15 through 19 primarily, but 21 through 23 as well, where we're talking about during the registration process, providing internet identifiers, including each email address, et cetera, as well as phone numbers. My understanding of where this rests in statute is that this would be provided upon basically the additional information upon registering. And I'm wondering if this is realizable. I mean, I get the intent here, but with the number of email addresses and little online personas that everybody has who's active online, you know, you create these things on almost a daily basis sometimes if you're particularly involved in the internet. So I see the point, but is this based on language and from another state perhaps? Has this been done elsewhere and done successfully? I'm just curious whether we can actually accomplish and enforce this. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And to respond to the questions, ultimately, one of the last ones first, the answer to the question is yes, the Internet identifiers. One, you have to provide those in registering. And if there's any changes, you have a response. If there's any changes in the information that you provided in registering, you have to provide that within 3 working days. These are tracked. So that what you have is there's a significant amount of actual monitoring of chat rooms and other things like that to see. We actually have a program here where you have a DCI agent. I shouldn't say monitoring. You have a DCI agent who goes to chat rooms and poses as an adolescent female to find predator, to find those who would engage her, and they have a significant number of convictions. And they find a significant number of people who actually approach them. So in doing that, this is tried in other places. We're not the first place to do this, and the DCI agents who are in charge of that have testified that using that they can use that to assist in their tracking these individuals. With respect to whether this is a good system or not, we had that debate some 5 years ago, and the ruling of this body was that it was the right thing to do. We had a situation before where actually a person who was convicted of a sex offense, when they were going to have to register, was based upon an interview and testimony, and there was actually a judicial proceeding where mental health professionals, medical professionals would actually come and testify and help rate these individuals. That went down the drain 5 years ago when we passed the Adam Walsh Act. So we can have that debate again if we want, but this body decided that once. The date is actually in the bill. The date we referred to earlier is actually in the bills, and I don't remember the reason why. And then we'll try and find that out. It was January 1st, 1985, was the cutoff date. And I don't remember the reason for that, but I remember there was some discussion, and that there was that was tied to some particular reason. And I'll see if I can resurrect that and talk to some of the individuals who are involved, see if we can come out with that number. With respect to adolescents and how they're different, one of the reasons that they're on here is, one, the federal requirement, which may or may not be a good reason in your opinion. However, we did have testimony that one of the members of this body brought to us from a family in southwestern Wyoming, in a city down there, whose daughter was the victim of an adolescent sex offender, who, when they interviewed this sex offender, and as they went through the process with him, they found out that he had 40 other victims. A teenage boy, 40 other victims. And so, as we listen to that testimony and we find out about those things, there's no question it's a very broad net. There's no question that sex offender registration is a very broad net. It casts those probably that ought to be excluded, but it is a very broad net that catches essentially everyone who convicts one of those crimes, and it would be nice if there was a way to distinguish that. We used to have that in statute, but this body booted that one out 5 years ago. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Questions have been called for. All those in favor of Senator Perkins' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 23, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? House Bill 23 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Senator Esquivel.
Mr. Chairman, may I have privilege of the floor?
Yes, you may.
Mr. Chair, members of the body, in front of me, right here in the balcony, are students and staff of the Wyoming TRIO and GURA programs. Today is Wyoming Educational Access Day, and TRIO and GURA, and you have some of these postcard-type things on your desk that explains the program a little bit more for some of you that might not be aware of it. These are federally funded projects that provide assistance and support to first-generation college students, students with limited income, students traditionally underrepresented in higher education, students with disabilities to aspire to, gain admission to, and succeed in higher education.
Each year, the 12 Wyoming Trio programs and 2 Wyoming Gear Up programs serve over 6,000 students. College and high school students are here today representing the following projects from Casper, Cheyenne, and Laramie: Student Support Services, Upward Bound, McNair, Educational Opportunity Center, and Gear Up. These students and staff provided you the postcard you found on your desk this morning. Members of the Center, will you join me in welcoming the students from Trio and Gear Up?
Senator Nutting.
May I also have the privilege of the floor?
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to introduce our doctor of the day, Dr. Gardner, and ask you to welcome Dr. Gardner today. Thank you. Thank you.
The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 92. The clerk will please read it in. House Bill 92, Impersonation Through Electronic Means, an Act Relating to Crimes and Offenses, sponsored by Representative Lubnow. It was referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, and Perkins. Senator Perkins, Chairman. Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that when the committee hold rights report, that do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 92, for an explanation of the, if we can read in the Standing Committee Amendment at this time, Mr. Chairman.
House Bill 92, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to engross copy, page 2, line 2.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I would move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 92, and for an explanation of the bill and the amendment, and for the reason that we're going to introduce spoofing into statutory language in the state of Wyoming, I ask that you call on the good majority floor leader, and this is not a spoof. Senator Ross.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the Senate, bring to you impersonation through electronic means. And there is such a thing out there now called spoofing. And while that's a kind of a funny name, it's real. And as technology moves ahead, so do criminals, quite frankly. Here's a website right here where you can get a spoof card. What is it? What is this all about? Well, it's about stealing. It's about crime. It's about if you were a burglar, you could go into somebody's house and you can steal their stuff. Now, you can sit at your desk, get on your computer, and you can still steal their stuff. And that's what this bill is about. You can do all kinds of mischief when you steal somebody's ID. There is a bill that is going through the Congress right now, and it's by Representative Engel. And this is what he has to say. If spoofers are able to get your information and to do the cyber equivalent of ransacking your house, it can literally take years to correct the damage. Even worse, such technology can be used by stalkers and potentially violent criminals as well. We must act because the lives could be lost and more people are potentially ruined. And then there are personal examples of people that have been spoofed. The primary sponsor of this bill in the House had his Facebook account spoofed, and stuff was going out all over the place. What is it about? Well, the real language of the bill is in paragraph 8A on page 1 and 2. Notwithstanding any other provision of the law, a person who knowingly and with consent intentionally impersonates another on a website or by other electronic means, including but not limited to spoofing. And then there's the Standing Committee Amendment that adds, and causes or attempts to cause harm. And what is this? It's a misdemeanor, 1,000 and or 1 year. And we define what spoofing is. But in essence, what it is, it's falsifying somebody's identification. So this particular bill will be compliant with what the feds are doing, and it will protect potentially a lot of vulnerable people in the state of Wyoming, particularly your elderly. We all get these things on the internet all the time now. But when they steal your identity, they take more than just your name. They end up potentially taking a lot of your reputation. They can actually damage you financially. And this is an attempt to protect those that are out there that have their IDs stolen. This is just another way in which we are having to deal with the whole concept of theft of identity. This happens to be because technology and individuals have moved that much further along and are using the internet and computers and whatever else to harm people. There is no good thing that comes out of their actions other than people are victimized.
Senator Bebop.
Chairman, I really like this bill. The question I have is, when you look at this, and identity theft is so real, and it's just a terrible, terrible thing, and what other states are doing, what other avenues are open to us? Is there more can we do than we can do? Identity theft can occur, you know, within our state, within our country, or from anywhere. Do we go far enough, or is this as far as we can go, given the nature of the issue that we have to deal with?
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just maybe I can help a little bit of that and recount to you some of the testimony that happened in our committee, Mr. Chairman. We had a certain group of which the requirement, I think the only requirement is that you pay a fee and be at least 50 years old. They came to testify and indicated that up to 73% of their membership uses cell phones. Over 50% of their membership uses computers. And so if you look at our senior citizens, they become a vulnerable population. I know in our own family that we had some of that as my mother slipped into Alzheimer's, that they would be taken advantage of. And certainly in my practice, I see a number of elderly individuals who get taken advantage of. One of the other issues that happened is that though with identity theft and other theft, the other laws that are out there, that when somebody really, if somebody is successful in depriving you, that we have in our other check fraud and or other types of crimes that are already out there, that we're fairly successful when somebody is successful of going out and getting them. In fact, it was interesting that one of the sponsors on the bill from the other house, Mr. Chairman, actually said that during session that somebody commandeered his wife's Facebook account and indicated on their Facebook account that they were in London, had been held up by gunpoint and were asking their friends to send them $500. So it does happen in Israel. But what we, with the testimony that we did hear from prosecutors and law enforcement that was there, was that this would help with the other things we already have in place, and with this particular law that gave them, they believed, the tools that they needed to go after successfully people who are committing identity theft or trying to commit identity theft.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One small question about it. When we get a mass mailing of emails that somebody sent out to everybody, and our own email address appears in the the line like they were using my email address to send me an email, which is one way to get around some of the spam filters and the checkers. Do they fall inside this statute if we pass this?
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One of my concerns with the way the language of the bill is kind of satire and things like that. I mean, if I sign up for a Britney Spears 11 at Hotmail and send you an email from that, am I going to jail for a year under this bill, or do we allow for that? I think so. That might be reasonable, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to know.
Senator Christensen.
Mr. Chairman, I think it's important to look back at the language of the proposed amendment, where it talks about causes or attempts to cause harm, and it depends on how hurt he is by his new Britney Spears identity. But, please take a look at that. And I think that addresses part of some of the concerns that folks have about, jokes, or I left my computer on and somebody put a comment in there. It really goes to, did it cause harm or did they intend to cause harm? And so the intent part of this, I think, helps clarify and focus on what the real issue is.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'm having a little trouble with line 14, where it says, notwithstanding, page 1, notwithstanding any other provision of law. And, I know where we're trying to go with this, but I'm wondering what would be the harm of taking that out, because I can see, a lot of people who do impersonations and comedy and things like that, who may actually cause harm to somebody. And then are you saying that you don't have that public get out of harm-free card there, because then you could be sued. So I'm kind of curious why we have to say notwithstanding any other provision or law, and why we can't be specific enough in this to get the intent of what we're trying to do. And that would really be my question.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In part, for the benefit of our visitors up above, I just got to wondering what this might mean in terms of the problem that we have in our schools, and if this would also affect such things as bullying. And there's a lot of impersonation that goes on in our school systems with electronic devices, and just wondering if those individuals would fall underneath this piece of legislation.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The answer to that question is yes. But what's important is that we pass the Standing Committee Amendment, which we haven't taken a vote on yet, which brings in the intent clause, so as to it would be just like any other case. You got to prove it. So if you went on to Britney Spears' address and sent out a little email, it may or may not cause harm, but it very well may have caused harm, and you still have to prove it. You still have to prove it in a court of law. You have to prove the intent, and then it's a misdemeanor. I don't think it's a very high burden, particularly when the people that are doing this aren't doing it just for jokes, as a general rule.
Senator Rothfuss.
Mr. Chairman, I'm missing the intent part of it, because it has the causes or attempts to cause harm aspect of it. But I do think that could probably be remedied on a further reading, so I don't see any problem with that.
Senator Ross, I don't believe you did. You move this amendment?
Senator Perkins did.
Okay. Are you ready for the question? Those in favor of Senator Perkins' motion to adopt the Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 92, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? That amendment has passed. And you are correct, Senator?
Standing committee.
Standing committee. Question has been called. All those in favor of Senator Perkins' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 92, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? House Bill 92 has passed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move that Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
It has passed.
We have messages from the House.
February the 24th, 2011, from the House of Representatives. Message, third reading passed. Mr. President, the bills listed below pass the House on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 45, Professional Services Procurement. Ayes 58, excuse 2. Senate File 72, Fair Practices of Equipment Act Amendments. Ayes 57, excuse 2, conflict 1. Senate File 134, Liens. Ayes 58, excuse 2. Senate File 138, Child Custody Orders Abandonment. Ayes 55, noes 3, excuse 2. Senate File 147, Service of Process Fees. Ayes 55, noes 3, excused 2. February the 24th, 2011, from the House of Representatives, Message 411, concurrence passed. Mr. President, the House did concur on Senate amendments to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill 217, Production States Agreement. Ayes 56, noes 2, excused 2. February the 24th, 2011, from the House of Representatives, message number 412, concurrence failed. Mr. President, House Bill 127, School Finance Recalibration. The House failed to concur on Senate amendments to the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 0, noes 58, excuse 2. The House requests the Senate appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with a like committee from the House to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. February the 24th, 2011, message from the House of Representatives, message number 413. Joint Conference Committee Report adopted. Mr. President, Senate File 101, Hathaway Student Scholarship Program. The House adopted the Joint Conference Committee Number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 58, excuse 2. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Signing of an enrolled act. House Enrolled Act Number 37. Reading clerk will read the act.
House Enrolled Act Number 37, being original House Bill 5.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act Number 37, original House Bill Number 5. have so signed. House Enrolled Act number 38.
House Enrolled Act number 38 being original House Bill 37.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 38, original House Bill 37. So signed. House Enrolled Act number 39.
House Enrolled Act number 39 being original House Bill 63.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 39, original House Bill 63. So signed. House Enrolled Act number 40.
House Enrolled Act number 40 being original House Bill 110.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 40, original House Bill 110. I have so signed. House Enrolled Act 41.
House Enrolled Act number 41 being original House Bill 111.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 41, original House Bill 111. So signed. Enrolled Act number 42.
House Enrolled Act number 42 being original House Bill 124.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act 42, original House Bill 124. So signed. House Enrolled Act number 43.
House Enrolled Act number 43 being original House Bill 143.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act 43, original House Bill 143. So signed. House Enrolled Act 44.
House Enrolled Act number 44 being original House Bill 153.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 44, original House Bill 153. So signed. House Enrolled Act 45.
House Enrolled Act number 45 being original House Bill 159.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act 45, original House Bill 159. So signed. House Enrolled Act 46.
House Enrolled Act number 46 being original House Bill 81.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 46, original House Bill 81. I'm so signed. House Enrolled Act 47.
House Enrolled Act number 47 being original House Bill 246.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 47, original House Bill 246. I have so signed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand in recess until 1:30.
Are there announcements? Senator Geist?
Your conference committee on message 348 being the original House Bill 8 will meet up on adjournment tonight to work out the difference.
Senator Bebout? Yeah,
thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 9, Minerals, will meet at 12:15 up in S18 to continue to talk about the evaluation of the governor's appointments.
Senator Coe?
Mr. President.
your committee number four, education, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock here in S11 to consider the appointment of Ian Catalier as Director of School Facilities Commission, and to interview and meet John McPherson and Jeff Marsh, who are proposed new trustees at the University of Wyoming.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number one, Judiciary, will meet tomorrow morning, February 25th at 8 a.m. in room S1. We've got a confirmation hearing set for at 8 o'clock for Mr. Steve Corsi to the position of Department of Family Services Director, and 9 o'clock for Greg Phillips to the position of Wyoming Attorney General, and then also just to get to visit with Edward Wright at 8:30. We're going to visit with Edward Wright, who is nominated to the position on the Board of Parole. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, your committee number six, Tribal Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet immediately upon recess to take up interim topics with our light committee from the House. We'll be meeting down at room H10. That's the House TRW committee room.
Other announcements? Seeing none, the original motion was that we'd be at recess until 1:30 p.m. All those in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries. We are stand at recess until 1:30 p.m. this afternoon. We are at recess.